This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, printed copies of today's service, and our special DVD series, Basic Biblical Truths, will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you joined us today and invite you to tune into this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Jesus answered a few of our questions about life after death. And we're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, your word has revealed to us that our stay on this earth is limited in years. But you remind us that before each individual there stands a vast eternity. Therefore, we have all kinds of questions, and we thank you that while we do not have all the answers, you have given to us a few of them. Help us as we study them from your holy word this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, a young man came home from his first year in college, and soon he paid a visit on his grandmother. Grandmother was very proud of him, and she said, "Well, tell me, what took place in your life during this past year?" He replied, "You know, Grandma, I have taken a new look at the Bible. And I do not believe that those people like Noah and Jonah ever lived. Just didn't happen. Do you agree with me?" And she looked at him and she said, "Absolutely not. They are found on the pages of the Bible, and I believe what is found in the Bible is true. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a talk with Noah and Jonah and people like them." The young man said to his grandma, "But Grandma, what if they aren't there?" And she replied, "Then you talk to them where you are." Now that is supposed to be one of these afterlife jokes that are filled with all kinds of nervousness, I think. There is a certain amount of concern about eternity. People who will say that, "I don't believe that there is an eternity," or "we don't know anything about it," still have a very, very much of an interest in what is going to happen, if any, after they breathe their last. I'm reading a book that I would recommend to you very highly. It's entitled The Preacher and the President. It is written by Nancy Gibbs and Michael Duffy. It's a story of Billy Graham as he has ministered to the President of the United States throughout his many years. In this particular incident that I refer you today, Dr. Graham had received an invitation from President Eisenhower. He was to come to his farm home in Gettysburg, and there they would spend an enjoyable day with each other. When Billy got there, they got on a cart, and out into the fields they went and were reminded that here was where the battle really took place, and what a horrible battle it was. Then they came in, and the president asked Billy if he would mind going up and visit with his wife, who wasn't feeling well. And so Dr. Graham did that and shared scripture and prayed with her and talked with her, one of the first times he had ever had an opportunity to visit with Mamie. And then they went downstairs for lunch. As they were eating, Billy Graham could sense that there was something that was really disturbing the president. And then finally it came out. He walked back and forth in front of this large fireplace, and he said to Billy Graham, "Could you explain to me how a person can know for sure when he dies he is going to heaven?" That was a question, some nervous tension that came from the lips of the President of the United States, who had also engineered a brilliant war in Europe, caused a great deal of suffering, to be sure. Many never to come back, but he was a great general. And yet, with all the nervous hours that he had, days, weeks, months, in sending those people off to battle, here again he was nervous as he faced his own eternity. And so we have this word from our Lord. We don't know a great deal about what's going to happen after we die, but we know enough that we can have the assurance of our salvation. And at the conclusion of this program, listen as that great soloist sings, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," Leontine Price. It'll bless your soul. I also am indebted at this particular time to Dr. David Teede, who was once the president of Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. Dr. Teede has written a great commentary on the Gospel of St. Luke, and here that book has guided me through some difficult portions of that part, which is our text today. Dr. Teede goes on to say, "It is a powerful story with many truths to which we should give great attention. And I'd like to take three of these truths and place before you today. Number one, there is an eternity. You are not an animal. And when you die, you're going to live. You're going to live according to the Bible." According to the Bible now. According to the Bible. In either heaven or hell. You're going to live in the presence of God or away from Him for all eternity. That is what Jesus is teaching us in this text today. Remember who the teacher is. It's Jesus, not Homer Larson, not some other pastor, nor a great theologian, but it's Jesus. There is an eternity. And in connection with the eternity, there is also, friend, a judgment. And there we will stand before God Almighty. The fact that one of these people in our text today was rich and the other one was poor has little to do with their eternity. It is rather that one lived in a state of repentance, that is, confessing sins and placing faith in Christ, and the other one could get along in life without Him. and went his merry old way, he might not have been such a bad man. But certainly it was true that he had no time for God and for the poor, the sick, whom Jesus had told him to be concerned about. So there they are. There isn't a judgment. There is an eternity. And we have to face that as coming from the lips of our great Savior, but also teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The second thing that is revealed to us very, very clearly in this, that there is a time when you cannot repent. There is a time when the day of repentance is over. When you can take a look at what has gone on and the mistakes that you have made and said, man, I am really sorry. I want to change that. I'm going to have this differently. The rich man could have said, I'm so sorry that I didn't have Lazarus in and let him eat with us. We sat in what could be called the Hilton Hotel, and he was outside trying to get just enough crumbs from the dumpster to keep soul and body together. What's the matter with me? I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. That day is gone. When the rich man breathed his last, his eternity was decided. There is no changing after death. This is the time of repentance. You and I can repent. There are no sins that we cannot be forgiven for in this time. Any person in the world, no matter how bad they are, no matter how atrocious their life is, God will forgive them. He will grant them the complete forgiveness of all that's wrong. I know I'm repetitious, but I want to make that very clear. This is the day of repentance, and therefore the call comes out. The third thing. First, now, there is an eternity with a judgment. Secondly, the day of repentance is now, but when you breathe your last and you enter eternity, there is no time of repentance. And the third one is this, that what you know about the Scriptures, about eternity, comes from the Scriptures. You're not going to get extra advice. Never. It has been presented to you in the Word of God, your Bible, and that is what has been revealed as sufficient. We can have some feelings. We can have dreams about eternity. We can have other world experiences. But what we rely on is found in the Word of God. You recall the rich man said in that story that we're looking at today, and it is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke from verses 19 to 31, and I'm staying as close to it as I possibly can, but read it yourself. The rich man then finally says in desperation, Father, send Lazarus or somebody else to my five brothers that they do not come here in this place of torment. And the answer is this. They have the prophets. They have Moses. They have a revelation. And that's sufficient. That's all you're going to get. So those three truths, let me say them again. There is an eternity with a judgment. There is a time when the day of repentance is over. And thirdly, what you know about eternity, what you know about eternity has been revealed to you in the Word of God. That's very, very clear, is it not, in our text. Now we go on and take a look at what this is going to do as far as our salvation is concerned and what it's going to do as far as our life here on this earth is concerned. Here, look. I'd like to refer to my own town and simply make application of what I have tried to teach you from the Word of God in the sermon today. I live in a town that I love very much. It is a prosperous town. It has some beautiful homes that are well kept. People drive nice cars and they talk about going on vacations. It is a place where there is great education facilities. We have the University of Northern Iowa in our midst, a fine, fine school of learning. We have our public schools, great schools that our children and grandchildren have gone through and done very well in post-high school education. We have great recreational facilities. We don't have the beautiful lakes, like, for example, if you lived in Maine, and that's where I grew up, Lake Sebago, Crescent Lake, and the Atlantic Ocean. No, we don't have those, that's true. Now, do we have the White Mountains? But we have swimming pools, and we have golf courses, and we have a great time with them. We have great health facilities, finest of hospitals, good churches, beautiful churches, large churches, well-equipped churches, and many godly people living therein. We have the gospel priest in those churches Sunday after Sunday. Seems like everything is going well. But in the middle of the whole thing, when you take a look at what is happening, and this town that I love so dearly, we are spiritually sick. Well, how can that be when we have people who know the Lord Jesus personally and many people are being converted? How can this be? What are you talking about, Pastor? You have a right to say. I'm talking about this. The other day, I picked up the evening newspaper, and it was as if a tornado had hit our town. Listen, the headline was this: Rising Birth Control Prices Affect College Students. And I take a few quotes from this article. Students at the University of Northern Iowa and colleges across the country will soon begin to feel the pinch of sudden and significant price increases for name-brand birth control pills. One such pill will more than triple in price by the end of the school year to nearly $50 per prescription. Now, more than two-thirds of college students report having at least one sexual partner in the last 12 months, according to a fall 2006 survey by the American College Health Association. And they go on to say, we really want to make sure if they are going to be sexually active that they are taking appropriate care to ensure they don't have an unintended pregnancy. It's a matter of what works for the person physically and for their lifestyle. End of quote. My heart dropped. We're talking about the increase in birth control pills, as if that is a very, very serious matter, that the price increases. Now, I understand the rationale. I understand that the people are saying, well, after all, you got to be practical. You live in 2007. We do not want to have a lot of little children born out of wedlock. Nor do I. That's understandable. But is that the way that you keep little children from being born out of wedlock, by giving birth control pills? May I just remind you once more that God has said in His Word, thou shalt not commit adultery? Do you not understand that the Word of God says clearly that any sexual activity outside of marriage is lust and not love, and is contrary to the Word of God and is sin? And that we stand around and talk about that something terrible has happened because these pills that prevent the pregnancies now may get so high that these people cannot afford to buy them. And if they can't afford to buy them, they'll continue on with their sexual activity and we'll have these unwanted children. People that is spiritually sick. How spiritually destitute can we become? What do we do here? Relate that to our text. Okay, this is a day of repentance. Let's say that we have this drive, and because we have this drive, we're going to keep on this way, because it would be a terrible thing if we did not satisfy all of our drives, regardless of what the Word of God has said. Now, God has said, you can't do this and be in my will. And I personally want to go on record as saying that any person who lives in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ cannot live in that immoral state. We throw that out. We throw that out because we're taking control. Remember the wealthy man? He was taking control. Until that day came that he had gone too far, then he wanted to repent, and it was too late. It deserves a warning from the church. I realize the odds, but it takes a warning from the church that this type of thinking and this type of living is sin, and God will not bless it. And so, my friend, the cry is, today is a day of grace. Today we can turn. Today we can say, how have we gone so far away? We advanced in so many things. But why did we go so far away from what God told us? For there will come a day of judgment, and then it will be too late. God's word says when you hear his voice, please do not harden your heart. For God loves you. He gave you the commandment so that we could have the purity of marriage. And one of the great love expressions could be that relationship between a husband and a wife. Does it do anybody any good to sleep around? What does it do to their own self-understanding? Does it do any good to make possible all kinds of illnesses? You see, God gave us that commandment in love. He has the best in mind for us. And if we have broken it, he will forgive us. He promises to forgive us, but let it be clear, friend, let it be very clear that if we die outside of Christ, we are lost forever. And Jesus is the one who taught us this from his word today. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Father, your word speaks so specifically. It perhaps does not make much sense to us. But grant, O God, that we may understand that these words have come from the lips of Jesus. And this is a day when we can repent. So whether it be the sixth commandment or the fifth one, whatever our sins are, grant, O Lord, that before your throne of grace we may come, asking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness. And then, Lord, give us grace not only to be forgiven that sin, but to overcome it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. Many of our listeners are not aware that Christian Crusaders must purchase its own radio airtime in order to broadcast biblical truth each and every week. Please consider, if you're in a position to do so, sending a financial gift. In this way, you become a partner in carrying out our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. God's blessings to each of you. Christian Crusaders is excited to offer Basic Biblical Truths, a set of five gospel-centered messages by Reverend Homer Larson on DVD. These 20-minute video programs are ideal for church pulpit supply and individual or group Bible studies. They are available by request with a suggested donation of $10 per program. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a generous gift to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.